The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello. Good morning. How are you today? Well, welcome to The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus apprentices where we're trying to learn how to live like Jesus, loving like he loved and serving like he served. It is so good to have you with us this morning to study God's Word. As you know, as an apprentice of Jesus, a community of apprentices of Jesus, we have a model for our life. And the model for our community is the following. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the way that we want to live as an apprentice of Jesus Christ. We want to live according to Jesus' model, loving one another, caring for one another, loving ourselves, and loving God. Well, I pray that everything will be okay today. I have seen some technical problems here, but I hope everything will go okay. Anyhow, as you know, we are in this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are on our 10th week. And in this week, we have having studying the Sermon of the Mountain or the Sermon of the Plain in the case of Luke. And today we'll be studying just part of verse 21. The first part. But our memory verse for this week is the first beatitude that we have studied yesterday. And this memory verse comes from Luke 6:20. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. It is powerful to see the movement of the kingdom. The kingdom of God will not be something in the future for the poor. It's something real right now for the poor. And it was a powerful study yesterday, and I hope you have enjoyed. If you missed our study yesterday, you can go to our archives on our YouTube channel or Facebook page or even our podcast, and you can watch or listen to yesterday's episode, or even you can share with others. But it was a very powerful lesson to understand a little bit more about the context, what meant to be a poor, and how the kingdom of God relate to that. Today we'll have a different perspective about those that are hungry. And there's a powerful message here, at least for me. And I think for us to understand, grasp what God is trying to share with us, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to hear his voice. We need to understand what he has to say to us through the Holy Spirit. For that, we need to come before God. We need to seek his presence. In Hebrews 4:16, we have the assurance that God is available to us, that he's open to us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There, we receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. We believe that if we seek God, he will provide for us. And we need to rely and claim this promise, the promise that God will provide for us the direction, the mercy, and the grace that we need. So for that, let's position ourselves before the throne of grace. Let's seek God. Let's seek His mercy and grace. I want to give you 1 minute. A minute for you to prepare yourself to listen to God's voice. And after that, we'll come and spend some time reflecting on verse 21 of Luke 6. So take this time to learn how to humble yourself before God through prayer, how to position yourself to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, for this opportunity that we have to be here and to study your word. Lord, we ask a special blessing upon the equipment, the process that is happening right now, with the signal going out to different medias. And we pray that you be protecting, so your word will be available to many people. We pray for those that are listening and watching right now, and for those that will be connecting later, that your Holy Spirit will be guiding and understanding onto to the understanding of your word. Forgive our sins, bring us peace, healing, forgiveness, and salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, where we are? We are in the Sermon of the Plain, or the Sermon, we usually refer to the Sermon of the Mountain because of Matthew, right? On the narrative of Luke, as he tells the story of Jesus, He presents Jesus as God. And we saw that building block, Jesus as the authority over the scriptures, interpretation of the scriptures, authority over the demons, authority over the diseases and nature and laws of Moses and the laws of God and forgiveness, authority over fasting, Sabbath day and all that. So Luke somehow is describing who is Jesus. Up to this point, Luke has just shared some dialogues or some words that Jesus said in a private context or to a few people. That is the first time that Luke registers what Jesus says to a large group. So Luke is paying attention, is giving us a very important lesson of what was Jesus' message. Yes, Jesus' message, his script is based in Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released that blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor, grace, the time of Jubilee has come. So Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus is presenting the values of this kingdom. Jesus is calling people to submit to God's rulership. And it's based on that he's bringing the kingdom right now and what the kingdom does. And usually, and as we have been studying, the kingdom looks a little bit different from our understanding. And the kingdom kind of confronts our understanding of a religious life. The kingdom takes us to a new paradigm, a new way. And that's where Jesus we are right now. So after Luke presents who is Jesus, let's pay attention. Luke's calling us to what Jesus said. What was his teaching? What is the curriculum of the kingdom? This curriculum of the kingdom, it is so crucial because as we compare that to the movement of Moses, Moses went through the process on the experience of the water, experience of the wilderness. Then he goes up to the mountain and come down and presents the will of God to the people of Israel, the Ten Commandments. In the same way, Jesus goes through this process, the process of the water, the wilderness. He goes up to the mountain to have an encounter with God. And now he comes back and presents the will, the desire of God, the desire of the kingdom of God. And we need to understand that the kingdom of God leads us back to the creation of the world, the Eden. You see, the kingdom of God is not something new. It has been part of the Hebrew Bible, and we see very clear in the creation of the world. The creation of this world presents the kingdom of the king of the universe expanding his kingdom and bringing to this earth his rulership. As he creates his earth and the people of his earth, he creates people according to his image and likeness. Because God is the king of the universe, we are supposed to rule over this planet. So humankind in the kingdom of God, they are understood as the image and the likeness of God, having a special worthy because they are royal. And that's so crucial because as sin comes, he destroys or tries to attempt to destroy this concept of the kingdom. And now Jesus comes to rescue this concept that was implemented at Eden and now will be restored in the future. But we must experience this kingdom right here, right now. The values and the principles of the kingdom. So we get used to that. So when we get to the eternal life, we are okay with his kingdom and his rulership because we have submitted to him already. We have lived according to the principles and values of this kingdom. If you don't understand and if you don't accept that rulership and I don't like those principles, eternal life with God will be hell. So we need to submit to him right now. We need to live these principles right now. And these principles shake the understanding of people. And yesterday we studied about the poor. For the kingdom of God is theirs. But we come now to verse 21. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Wow, how can you be blessed if you're hungry? I tell you, how can you be happy when you're aiming for food? How can you be happy? And it is interesting that, again, according to understand of the religious people of the time. Being hungry was a sign that we were not blessed by God. What I mean by that? Being blessed or happy, as some translations present, gives an idea today of having things, circumstances, experience some kind of reality. Oh, I'm happy when I'm with my friends. I'm happy when I have a car. I'm happy when I have food. Oh, I will be happy when I have my house, or I get married, or when I retire. So we create happiness as a circumstance and even a feeling. But happiness or blessing in the Bible is not related to circumstances. It is related to a relationship with God, with a connection with God. What that doesn't mean? Being blessed, being happy, is someone that is loved by God. It is someone that feel loved by God and rest in His grace. That is the idea. But unfortunately, a poor person, a person that is hungry, on their understanding, was not in connection with God. God didn't love them. God was not happy with them. They had upset God. Their understanding is even comes from the Hebrew Bible, and a poor understanding of the Hebrew Bible. And if you go to Deuteronomy 28, we see God saying to the people through Moses, if you obey God, if you follow, if you submit, surrender to God's rulership, you have health, wealth, land, food. So for the Pharisees in special, all those elements, wealth, health, prosperity, food, were a sign that you have been obeying God. God is happy with you. You are okay with God. Therefore, you have those items. Then, if you don't have wealth, health, food, right, prosperity, that means that you are not right with God. That God is upset with you. And you are living the consequences of not being right with God, of not obeying God. So therefore, God doesn't love you, because if He loved you, you not be in such circumstances, right? So the Pharisees, as they look to a poor or someone that is facing hungry, he's saying, hey, God is unhappy with this person. He doesn't have a good relationship with God. This person is a sinner. And by the way, we need to be away from them, because they can impact our relationship with God. They can contaminate us. So let's stay away from them. So they perceived those that are unfavorable, the marginalized, those that don't have food, as those that are not right with God, that God hates them. And God is away from them. But Jesus comes with a different teaching. And Jesus even say, blessed are you. So you are in good connection with God if you are hungry right now. How come? You see, the kingdom goes against directly to the understanding of the people of the time. And the reason they are happy is because God loves them, and because they will experience the kingdom of God in a different way than anyone will experience the kingdom of God. Let me try to unfold this thought. And maybe we should go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 presents the moment that God created this earth. And we know that God created mankind according to his image and likeness. So you have a worthy on yourself because of the creation. God created you, so you have a value here. And there's dignity here. There is a royal nature on you because God, the Creator, He's your Father, the King of the universe, and now He gives you the rulership of this earth. You are king. You are a princess, a prince. And just after He finishes creating mankind, showing their value, and saying, you rule over this earth because I'm king and you rule for myself on my behalf and because you're creating my image and likeness. God says in verse 29, then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout earth and all the fruit trees for your food. As part of the dignity, as part of being a royal member, as part of being the family of God, you have food. Food is related to the dignity that you have. Food is related to the image and the likeness of God. Food is related to your worth. And here comes another point. When did God create the food for humankind? On the third day of creation. Before human existed, before they need food, God, the graceful God, already has provided food for human beings that were created on the sixth day. So 3 days before they exist, God is providing food. So food is a way to show God's grace. And grace is the kingdom of God. So let me ask you, what humankind has done to deserve to be created according to God's image and likeness? What humankind has done to deserve to rule over this planet? What humankind has done to deserve to eat and receive food? Nothing. That's right, nothing. Everything is because of the grace of God. Our graceful God. His kingdom is a kingdom of grace. So food is a sign of grace. A grace that is provided to human beings that are royal. Part of the royalty. Because they were created according to God's image. Because they were created according to God's likeness. Because they are rulers, they have food and plentiful food. So food is related to the dignity, our identity, and God's grace. When sin comes to destroy or try to destroy, attempt to destroy God's kingdom and God's citizens. And he tries to steal from us our identity, our noble identity. He's trying to steal from us food because it's related to dignity. So, as far from the original, far from experiencing the grace of God. So, going back to Luke chapter 6, verse 21. When God sees someone that don't have what to eat, when Jesus sees someone that's lacking food, and when An apprentice of Jesus sees someone that's facing hungry. He's not asking what kind of sin you have. What's your problem? What God sees and Jesus saw, and we as apprentices of Jesus should see, is someone that has been stolen of his dignity, of her dignity, that is far from experiencing the grace of God through food, that it doesn't feel worthy because doesn't have what you eat. The dignity of a person is impacted when you don't have what you eat. So when Jesus saw someone without food, he's not asking what you have done. I want to stay away from you. He comes to this person and say, I need to restore you to the original plan. You need to experience grace, the grace of God through food. And as Jesus saw people that didn't have what to eat, he provides to that. He is proclaiming and giving a foretaste what of the kingdom of God as restored and fulfilled in this earth will be like. Because if you go to Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, what do you see? God providing food again every month. Fruit of the life, of the tree of life. The banquet of the Lamb. Because food is related to grace. And since Jesus came to proclaim God's grace, as we saw in Luke 4, 18 and 19, that Jesus would come to proclaim the time of the Lord's favor has come. The grace of Lord's favor has come. The question is not about being obedient. It's the question is restoring dignity. Providing food for those that don't have, showing grace for them. A grace that is not based on obedience in a merit basis. Because even God provides sun and rain for those that obey and don't obey. Because He's a merciful and graceful God. You see, providing food to someone is restoring his and her dignity. Providing food for someone is restoring the image and likeness of God, is presenting grace. Here is not the kingdom of God doesn't come to a person that is hungry and say, I'll pray for you, and one day you'll have what you eat. The kingdom of God is a manifestation right now. A manifestation of what we're supposed to do right now. Manifestation of the principles and the values. And the principle of humankind for the kingdom of God is dignity, worth, relating even to food. And guess what? My tradition is I'm a Seventh-day Adventist member, and we understand that Revelation 14 is the last message to be proclaimed. And what is the first message of Revelation 14? The three angels' message that we should worship the creator of heaven and earth. Is calling us to go back to Eden, is calling us to go back to the rulership, to the kingdom of God. And if we go back to the kingdom of God, we'll see that humankind were created with dignity, that humankind were created as royal people, that humankind were created according to the image and the likeness of God, and that grace was offered to humankind through food. Guess how we can fulfill this first angel's message? Restoring the dignity of that the Creator has bestowed upon humankind. Providing grace through food for those that don't have. Fulfilling the three angels' message is providing a plate of food for people that don't have it. Is restoring their dignity. Is this restoring their worthiness. is restoring the image and the likeness of God. And that is a principle of God's kingdom. And if I submit to his kingdomship, I need to know that, go that. So those that are starving, they are blessing right, they are blessed right now because they will experience grace. They will experience the love of God, that they are love, that they are accept, and now they will receive grace. And someone that doesn't have that need, maybe not experiencing the grace in that way. So that's the reason they are blessed. And we need to be a blessing to those that don't have. And the most beautiful thing for me is the day that we celebrate the creation, the day that we celebrate the dignity of humankind, the day that we celebrate mercy, it is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is the day that we should restore the dignity of people, that we should provide food through grace as a show of grace of God. You see, that's so beautiful. It's so holistic approach, the kingdom of God. And what he said is what we have been doing as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We have missed the boat. But as we come together in apprentice of Jesus, we have this invitation. The invitation to experience the kingdom right now and promote the kingdom. Not through just words, but through actions. We are here to restore people's dignity. We are here to provide grace and form of food like God has done. Church doesn't happen inside of four walls. Church happens where the kingdom manifests itself. It can happen inside of four walls, but it's not limited to the four walls. Happens where the kingdom must manifest. And the kingdom must manifest among those that are poor and hungry. Are you being an apprentice of Jesus? Are you accepting this commandment that Jesus brought from his communion with the Father? Are you living God's will for his apprentices? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, we are worthy. We have a dignity that was bestowed upon us because we were created according to image and likeness. We experience grace through food. But sin came to destroy or try to destroy the kingdom. And Jesus came to restore. Restore human's dignity. Provide for those that don't need as a way to show God's grace. So Lord, help us. Help us to understand. Help us to live out God's kingdom. Help us, Lord, to experience and be promoters of God's kingdom. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's go to some questions for your reflection. And here are the questions. What is happening in this passage? What is stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, those are some of questions for you to reflect and think about it. and to try to apply what we have been studying here and reflecting here. Tomorrow, by God's grace, we study the second part of verse 21, the third beatitude. And I pray that you'll be with us again to study. And I pray that you will decide to be a follower, not just among the multitude, submitting yourself to the rulership of God, and that you will be living the principles and values of the kingdom as presented here in the Gospel of Luke. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.